WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for spending 30 minutes of your day here today. Thank you for joining us here. The next 30 minutes, we'll be in search of the mind of God here today as we go to where He speaks. Hence the name of this program, WGOD. You see, God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. What you and I need to do is go to where He's speaking. And He's speaking through His word. If I owned a radio station, that's what I would have the call letters, WGOD, because He's always speaking. The word for you today is going to come through one of His servants, the Apostle John. We just started a book study here at church, 1 John, and John pulls no punches here. And perhaps that's why Jesus called him one of the sons of thunder. He was a powerful preacher, and he was a cut-and-dry, no-nonsense Bible teacher, as we're finding out as we get started here in this book of 1 John. So this will wrap up here today. If you'd like a copy of this, you can write to me, Paul, at WGODradio.com. I'll email you the disc. I'll send you the link. I also encourage you to download the app. Search for WGOD Radio. Download the app. I invite you to church on Sundays here, Island Community Church. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. And this Sunday, we'll be picking it up right where we're leaving off here at the end of the first chapter of 1 John. So, okay, here we go. Let's wrap up this study here this morning, an introduction to 1 John. So again, he's trying to say, or he is saying, that he's an eyewitness to this. That which we have seen with our own eyes, and we have heard with our own ears, and we have touched with our own hands, we're declaring unto you. And then, the reason why. Look what it says. So that, this is why. Why he's telling you all this? So that you and the Godhead could have the kind of fellowship that he had with the Godhead, Father and Son, and with them as well, with the apostles. That's why he's telling you all of this. So you can have fellowship with Almighty God. Think about that. Fellowship is the Greek word koinonia, famous word. It means to participate in, or to share with, or to have in common. The language the New Testament was written was Koine Greek, meaning common Greek. It was the language everyone spoke of the day. They spoke Aramaic and Koine Greek. Fellowship. Verse 4, these things write we unto you, so that your joy may be full. I bet. Hearing about the Son of God firsthand from an eyewitness would bring me some joy too. How about you? Hearing that eternal life was possible for me would bring me joy too. How about you? Hearing I could possibly be forgiven for all that I've done would bring me joy as well. Right? So that your joy may be full. All right, well, that's the greeting. What do you say we call it a day and go home from here? No, let's keep going. Are you kidding me? Just warming up. How's this, devil? Here's my same glasses that broke last week.
Yeah, put a good man down, I'll tell you. Thank you, Lord. Okay, first section, walk in the light. This is the message that we have heard from him. Think about that. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. So God must have said to him, if he says, this is the message that we heard from him, God must have said to him, I am light, or ego eimi phos. Because he says, this is the message that this is what I've heard from God. And I'm telling you, and that is, God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. Double negative. Ume, there's absolutely no darkness in God. He is light. Then he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And we do not do the truth. Why? Because you can't have it both ways. You can't say that you have fellowship with God and walk with darkness at the same time. They don't go together like oil and water. It's impossible. You can't have fellowship with God and walk in darkness. You got to walk in the light, or you just can't have it. Just can't have it. There's no wishy-washy with John. John MacArthur says in his notes on 1 John that John presents the basics or the fundamentals of the Christian faith in absolutes, not in relative terms. Unlike Paul that presented exceptions, and he dealt so often with believers' failures to meet the divine standard, John does not deal with the what if I fail issues. Only in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, does he give some relief from the absolutes. The rest of the book presents truths in black and white rather than shades of gray. Often a stark contrast, like we read in here, light versus darkness, truth versus lies, children of God versus children of the devil. So John is already, in just one paragraph in, driving home the fact in his first paragraph that if you claim to be Christian and if you walk in darkness, then you're a liar. And now in the next verse will be the contrast to darkness. Verse 7 starts with the word naturally, but. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship or koinonia with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I love that verse. Cleanses in the present tense. Like if you live this is what Lord showed me this week. If you live like this, you're cleansed on a day-to-day basis. It's an active thing. Of walking in the light as he is in the light, you are cleansed every day from the blood of Jesus Christ. Every day. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have koinonia with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. All right, so what's the difference? To walk in darkness is to practice evil deeds. Or sin. Paul wrote, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is Galatians 5:19. That, I would say, is walking in darkness. Again, the text is not saying if you've committed one of these since you've been a Christian, you're walking in darkness, but rather if you practice these things, like practicing a piano or practicing medicine. A doctor came to Curly Howard one day and said to him, "Just where do you practice medicine?" And Curly said, "I don't need to practice it, I know it." Now, before we move forward here, if these things describe you, as I just quoted, then we need to talk. Something is wrong. Something is wrong with your, and here's that word again, something's wrong with your walk if these things describe you. Because genuine Christians don't behave like that anymore. You can't. You can't be born again. I mean, you have been born again and you have a new heart. You've got God living on the inside of you. You are slaves of righteousness now. You are compelled to do good as a Christian. You can't live like that anymore if you're a Christian. And John is saying, you're a liar if you're walking in darkness and say that you're a Christian. If these things I just read to you out of Galatians describe you now as a lifestyle, you're deceiving yourself to call yourself Christian. Because Christians don't do that. Oh, you might slip up and do any one of these. But when you practice them like a piano, then you got a problem. It's like Paul says, scrutinize yourself as to whether or not you were of the faith. Or Peter, make your calling and election sure. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Wow, I can see why Jesus called this cat the Son of Thunder. He pulls no punches, doesn't he? If we say that we have no sin, we're kidding ourselves and the truth is not in us. You see, if this is you, then Jesus is not for you. And you really shouldn't be here this morning. You're wasting your time. If you say that you are without sin or you don't believe in sin, then Jesus is not for you. He's for those that admit they need help, those that admit that they can't make it on their own, those that admit that they're a sinner and they fall short of the glory of God and they need help and they're tired of wallowing in the mire. If you say you are without sin or religion is a crutch for weak people, then Jesus isn't for you. And I encourage you, I don't know what I encourage you to do. I'd pray for you that you'd know the truth. Mirror, mirror on the wall. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. See, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And you're in a quandary now. Now, John will show us what we need to do. Notice this conditional promise here. It says, verse 9, if we confess our sins. Now, confess being the Greek word homologeo. It means to speak the same things. To confess in Greek here means to agree with God. Agree with God with what he already knows. You're not filling God in on something about you. Homologeo, speak the same thing. Agree with God that you've sinned. He already knows it. You're not cluing him in with new information. Agree with God for what it is. And leave it behind. Do an about face. Do a 180. Go the other way. Leave your sin behind. And he's promised, if we confess, that is homologeo, if we agree with God that we've sinned, that he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful to his oath. He's faithful to himself. And thank God he's faithful to you. God keeps his promises. If you confess your sins, get on your knees and repent, or as we're about to in a couple minutes before we partake of communion, if you are honest with God this morning, you will walk, every person in this church will walk out of this church as sinless as Jesus Christ. At least for a couple minutes. Cleansed of all sin. That's what he does. That's what the blood does. If we confess our sins, he's faithful. Means you can count on him. He's a faithful God. He's a faithful friend. He sticks closer than a brother. He's faithful. And he's just as the word dikaios, meaning righteous, means to be declared not guilty by the judge. He is just. He is faithful to obliterate your sins. Think about it. God told Jeremiah that your sins and your lawless deeds I will remember no more. Think about it. God has got amnesia with your sins. That's the only thing he doesn't remember, is your sins. If you confess them, he already knows them. But it's a slap in his face and an insult to an almighty God. Just say, oh, I don't have any sin. Like I said, if you say that, then Jesus is not for you. He's for somebody else. But he's not for you. I used to hear Adrian Rogers say all the time when they were going canvassing in the neighborhood, knocking on doors, telling people about Jesus. He said the hardest houses in the world is when he got there and he got Mercedes's in the driveway. And these big old rich houses, those were the ones that threw those guys out all the time. Rich guy goes, look at what I have. Look at this beautiful house. Look at my cars. Look at my family. What do I need Jesus for? How do you tell someone like that he's poor and wretched? Those are the hardest ones. When yet God says, you fool! He says, tonight your soul's going to be required of you. Then whose will all this stuff be? Remember, as we get into communion here, the other thing he does is he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. That is, he cleanses our soul from the filth, like dirty clothes, the filth of sin. Remember, God can't be near sin. God is holy. He cannot endure sin. He just can't be near it. When God came down to earth and met with Moses on the top of Mount Horeb, he said, whoever touches this mountain that I'm standing on is a dead man, or a dead duck, or a dead deer, or a dead steer. He said, don't even touch this mountain when he is on it. Because God is holy. And he's still holy. And yet the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What are you going to do? As a sinner, you need help. Enter into humanity and planet Earth, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the Son of God. While verse 9 says he's faithful to forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, the cleansing agent is blood. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption, that is, God bought you out of the slave market And the price that he paid to get you out, blood. Blood. The blood is the life, Leviticus. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Someone has to die to pay the price for your sins. Praise God, that's the Son of God. Died in our place. Died in our place. If last verse, he says it again, verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And good luck with that, by the way. Don't try that at home. If we say, oh, I'm not a sinner. I've never murdered anyone. I've never shot anyone. I've never moved my neighbor's landmark. You see, notice how the law still dogs these people. It's like a hammer hitting them over the head, you know. The Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. We're free from that hammer hitting us on the head anymore. That's another thing in its own right. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, then we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So where are you this morning? I'm going to ask Pastor Darren to come on up here, and Danny, maybe you could turn his microphone on, and his guitar, please. Where are you this morning? I believe what I said to you earlier. If I believe it because God says it, therefore I believe it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he's just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from some unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. You walk out of this door here today on this Sunday free from sin. The burden you've been carrying, maybe bearing, I don't know how long you've been bearing it. Maybe you watching on the internet. When was the last time you confessed of all your sins? You leave them behind here this morning. Turn, repent, leave your sins. Confess, that is, agree with what God already knows. Leave them behind. Turn and repent of them. And the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. Amen. So out of 168 hours in the week, let's take 5 blessed minutes out of it in private.
All the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM. When the mountain
mountains look so big.
From Leavenworth Finding Ministries, here's pastor, teacher, and author Dr. Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
What is success? Success is not spelled M-O-N-E-Y. Success is not spelled F-A-M-E. Success is the progressive realization of the will of God for your life. That's what success is. Now, if God has a will for your life, God has a plan for your life, we would expect God to reveal that plan for us. Our job, our duty, our privilege, our exciting thrill is to find the will of God, follow the will of God, and finish the will of God. So that we can come when we put the last period upon the last sentence, upon the last paragraph, upon the last page of human history, when we come to the end, we can say, I finished the work thou gavest me to do. And he can say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's what success is. Now, the Bible tells us clearly and plainly, magnificently, that if in all of our ways we will acknowledge him, that he will direct our paths, that God will lead us to know his will for our lives.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
Sure by now, God, you would have reached out and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. In every tear I've cried, you hold in your hands. You never left my side, though my heart is torn. I will praise you in the storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind. You heard my cry to you, raised me up again. But my strength is almost gone. How can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. As your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. In every tear I cry, you hold in your hand. You never left my side, though my heart is torn. I will praise you in the storm. I lift my eyes into the help. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord.